Amen, amen, and amen. Can you give the Lord a praise this morning for His goodness and all of His mercy? Amen. There's no God like Jehovah today. Amen. If you take your Bible in your hand this morning, Children's Church is heading out. Sorry about that, Miss Bunny. I'm glad you come running up through there. Children's Church is convening in the Power Kids over in the gymnasium. Amen. I need to make an apology for something. I get so much on my mind when I get up here. I want to preach everything at one time that I've been looking at throughout the week. And if I somehow get sidetracked sometimes, look at it as because it's something that God's put in my heart. I premise that by simply saying because I want to start in one place today and I want to end up somewhere else. And I hope that where I start and where I end up, you can kindly connect the dots. Actually, what I want to talk about this morning for a few minutes, I really started on Wednesday. And all week I've carried this, and I've kindly just felt like this is where I needed to be, and I really felt like this is what I needed to do this morning. And I don't have a lot of notes in front of me. I've just got a heart full of love for God today, and I just really want to just say something that I believe that God's put in my heart. And I've wondered to myself, even through the night last night, I woke up a few times because I really don't have a whole lot written down. And I'm thinking, well, what are you going to say? I said, well, if God will give it to me, I'll know what I'm supposed to say. That's all I can tell you today. And I've sent Abby a few little notes up there. I've got a little index card and a little piece of yellow paper right here. And hopefully through those means I can get to where I need to go here after a while. So on Wednesday, we started a scripture. And Abby, I'm going to go back there for just a second. I started over in the book of John. And the reason I started, for those of you that were not here on Wednesday night or wasn't able to watch, John chapter 14, verse 27, Jesus is writing this to his disciples simply because of his departure, simply because he had fulfilled or getting ready to fulfill the latter part of the purpose and the reason that Jesus came, that Jesus knew that he would soon be betrayed by a man by the name of Judas for 30 pieces of silver, and that the Roman soldiers would come and capture him in the Garden of Gethsemane there, and Judas would betray him with a kiss. It was sealed with a kiss, with Judas's betrayal. And then from there, we can see that Jesus goes and he's crucified. And then on Wednesday night, we talked about how that, there was this evil, wicked man by the name of Barabbas. And it was the time of the feast, and they were going to release one of the prisoners there. And at that time, they had Jesus in prison along with this evil, wicked man by the name of Barabbas. In all reality, you would think that this man, Jesus, would be delivered and set free over this evil, wicked man by the name of Barabbas. But yet we see in the same regard that Jesus said that there would be a day and an hour and a time that men would call evil good and good evil, and that Timothy was warned of Paul in the book of Timothy that perilous times would come and dangerous times would come. And then Jesus sent this word out to his disciples, and in the process of sending that out, Jesus delivered a message unto them that was for them to have faith over fear. And he says it's in John 14, verse number 1. He actually opens that up where we've read that many, many times in a lot of different settings and a lot of different environments. But this whole thing that Jesus was writing unto them was simply that to tell these disciples of the events that was forthcoming and upcoming, and that they would soon go through excruciating things in order for them to retain their discipleship, if you will, and to fulfill the things that God wanted him to do. Now, in this, we see that Jesus told them in the opening very verse, and this sort of ties together with where we're going. He says, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me." John 14 and verse 27, he says these words. And these are very powerful words when Jesus says this to a group of disciples that Jesus knew that just in a few days would be left without him. Again, we're blessed because we have the Bible. We read the Bible. We see the storyline. We see where all this goes and where all this ties together. But what if today you and I were standing where these disciples were in uncertain times? What if we were standing in days and hours where, as Christians, we did not know what would be happening next week, next month, 6 months down the road, a year down the road, when it pertains to you and I naming ourselves as and separating ourselves out from a world filled with anger and evil and wickedness and all of those kinds of types of things, and really having to take up a stand and really confess before the world and everybody else that I am a child of God. I believe in the death, burial, resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe in that. I stake my claim and I make my statement of faith based upon what Jesus said in the Word of God and what I really know what is to be the truth of the Word of God. That Jesus Christ stands alone. That Jesus is King of kings and Lord of lords. That He is my Alpha. He is my Omega. That we're looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, and I'm not looking to another one. I'm looking unto Him. This is what they walked into, that Jesus began to write that to this early church. Yes, the Holy Spirit would come, as Brother Scott greatly did in Sunday school this morning. The Holy Spirit would come and give them the dunamis, the dynamo, the power, their energia, to be able to fulfill the very thing that God had for them to do on planet Earth, to be able to have the stamina, the strength, the power to stand in the face of opposition. We're at that day and that hour. That is where we're at today. And Jesus told them in John chapter 14, verse 27, one of my most favorite verses of Scripture. And He says this in the Word, "Peace I give unto you." I leave you. He said, "I leave you." And He says, "Peace I give unto you." That Jesus has given them this great thing I said on Wednesday night. This is a mighty powerful thing, because you cannot give something to someone that you don't possess. I can promise you $1 million, but I can't deliver. But Jesus told them, I'm promising you something that I can deliver. He even called the Holy Spirit. I'm not going to get into that right now, but I do want to say this. He called the Holy Spirit the promise. That the promise is going to come upon you. The thing that Jesus was telling them simply was this, that in the hour of great turmoil, that even in an hour of great tribulation, even in an hour, and I'll get into some stuff a little bit later on, that in an hour that seemingly feels like that the church is not going to be able to stand, simply because our culture today seemingly continues to chip away. I said this on Wednesday night, and I am going to turn back there for that note. And I used this terminology on Wednesday night, and I said, it seems like our world today don't even have what we would call a moral, biblical value system. And it just seems like you just don't see that in our world today. But yet we see where Jesus promised them that He was going to deliver peace unto them, and He was going to give them peace. And I believe that when we look at this, we begin to see some of the things that I believe that's very important to understand in the day and the hour that we're living in. Now, again, you may not agree with me. This may not be something that hits you the way it's hit me. But there again, it's what I feel. It's how I feel. It's how I feel it in my spirit. It's how I feel it in my heart. It's how I feel it in my mind. And I hate to even say the things I say. I don't even like to preach the stuff I preach sometimes. But what I feel like is in my heart today is loud in my spirit. Loud in my heart, loud in my spirit. And again, I the last thing I want to do is to spread some type of fear. Or I don't want to be a fear monger. You know what I mean? I don't want to be one that casts fear over the church and be negative or anything like that. But if there's ever been a time when you and I need to heed the signs and the warnings of the days and the hours that we're living in, it is the day and the hour that we're living in. I believe it's time for you and I to turn our hearts back to God once again. And when I began to read through several things this past week, one of the things I mentioned, Raymond and I was having this conversation. And the conversation went simply like something like this. What are we to do today? What are we to do in the day and the hour that we're living in, where it seems like that the more you tell people about the Lord and the more you begin to live for God and the more that you want to share the gospel and do share the gospel, it seems like that you get shut down everywhere you turn. It seems like that people do not want to hear the gospel in the world that we're living in today. The world and our culture at the church at large oftentimes today are ignoring the very fact that Jesus is coming soon. Now again, I know that we could talk strictly about that for the next hour and a half. But I wanted to get into something I believe that is very important. It goes back to the Old Testament. When you look into the book of Ezekiel is like 48 chapters, and I'm not going to get into all 48 chapters today. That would take a long time. But in the reading of Ezekiel, when I opened up the book of Ezekiel and we begin to look at the book of Ezekiel, Ezekiel's name was simply means God strengthens. And one of the things that I picked up on when I began to read the early parts of the book of Ezekiel was simply this, that the duty that God had given Ezekiel to do, Ezekiel needed God's strength to be able to do it. And one of the things that I began to read about him was simply this, that the goals that was in Ezekiel's life during this particular time was simply this, that Ezekiel was called to be a watchman. He was called to be a watchman to the nations. Now, I do not consider myself a watchman necessarily. I love to listen to archives of David Wilkerson from Times Square. I love listening to some of the stuff that David Wilkerson did years ago. And David Wilkerson did not categorize himself as a prophet of such or anything else. He said that God had raised him up to be someone that would warn, and that's what a watchman does. Watchman is one who watches. Now, if I had the time, I'd go back into John 10. I don't have time to do that. But here's the thing. He says in the Word of God in John chapter number 10 that there is a great difference between a shepherd and a hireling. That a shepherd gives his life for the sheep. A shepherd is one that would stand before the enemy and would block the enemy from coming to the sheep, if you will. In other words, if you're going to get to the sheep, you're going to get through me first. When I look at that, I don't look at me. I look at Jesus being the great shepherd of our soul. But when we look at this, Jesus said in John 10, he said that when the hireling sees the wolf coming, he flees and he leaves the sheep there for the vulnerability of the wolf that comes and desecrates the sheep, if you will, and wipes the sheep out, if you will. What God began to do, and again, I'm not going to get done with this. What God began to do in Ezekiel was simply this. He began to raise him up. Now watch this. First of all, when I begin to read through this, God is the keeper of Israel. We know that by the Word of God. The Bible says that his eye is like the eye that's upon a sparrow. His eye is like the ninya. They're the apple of God's eye. So we see this again, how that God sees Ezekiel and God begins to raise him up. When you look in the first part of the book of Ezekiel, you can begin to see this. And he gives a vision or a dream, if you will, more of a vision of how that there was a whirlwind that came upon the land and there was basically calamity that was coming upon the land. Israel's hearts was way away from God. They were not where their hearts needed to be. And the Lord began to show him this, and he begins to show him different things in this vision of chapter number 1. Really, what I want to get into is chapter 2 and following for just a few minutes this morning. He says in chapter number 2, verse number 1, says, he said unto me, Son of man, stand upon thy feet, I will speak unto thee. And then Ezekiel said, and the Spirit entered into me when he spake unto me and set me upon my feet, and I heard him that spake unto me. In other words, the Spirit of God came upon Ezekiel. And I love the way this happens because we understand that it was a a divine-given revelation from God to Ezekiel. And then in the process of that, the Lord put him up into a position that where he would watch and see. A watchman is one who watches and sees the condition of those things that are about him and around him. Again, I don't want to be a fearmonger today. I don't want to be one that would be casting fear into the hearts of you or anybody else today. But I believe with everything within me that even Jesus told his disciples in these latter days that we're living in of the events and the things that would take place, and I'll get to it a little bit later on, that would happen prior to his coming. And let me just say this and move on. And I've got to say it right, and I've got to say it with proper wording. Because again, I don't want to be one that would cast fear. But I really do believe this, is that within everything within my heart, that if people are expecting to make it through the days ahead, if people are expecting to even go in the rapture, I believe there's got to be a return to the things of God in our hearts. I really believe that with everything within me. And I read this, and again, I'm going forward with this message a little bit, because I believe that we're one of those messages today that there's got to be a prophetic warning that's got to go forth. You hear it everywhere you turn. You hear it from different preachers and different ones, and by no means, I've listened to really none of them. I've listened to one or two, but that's about it. Because I don't want to be what somebody else is. I want God to speak to me by the word of the Lord, and I want to try to share that as I see it. Here's the problem with Ezekiel, or here's the situation that they were in. The way I view this, I view the condition of Israel during this time in their captivity. Of course, you can read the whole book. Of a people that was in bondage, and a people that was in bondage to the Babylonians during this time. But it also, he says in chapter 2, verse 2, he says, "And the Spirit entered into me, and he spake unto me, and he set me up on my feet, and I heard him that spake unto me." Watch in verse number 3. This is very important today. "And he said unto me, Son of man." He mentioned Son of Man, not in the same context as Jesus being the Son of Man, but as being a child of God. He says, "Son of man, I send thee to the children of Israel." First of all, as an apostle is one who is sent, but here he was sent as a watchman to the children of Israel. He was sent to them to be a mouthpiece on behalf of God. Ezekiel was raised up for this very purpose. And again, we see the condition of Israel when he does that. Verse number 3. And he says that he sends them to a rebellious nation that hath rebelled against me. They and their fathers have transgressed against me, even unto this very day. The church of Ephesus was identified as a people, as a church who had forgotten their first love. Israel, again, was the apple of God's eye. Israel was God's chosen people. Israel, God made covenant with Israel from generation to generation to generation. But in this, we can see that the people of Israel had gotten cold in their relationship with their father. We can see that their hearts had gotten colder, and God had become a distant thing in their lives. And I say that simply this, that in the church today, and again, I'm not trying to make excuse, I'm not trying to make anything to do with this COVID-19 thing, but I want to say this simply, that if COVID-19 has made your heart grow cold on God, you did not have a relationship with God prior to COVID-19. Even though we're in a mess, even though the political condition of the country today is in an absolute mess, here's what I declare before you today, that the people of God, we should not be walking in fear. We should not be letting our hearts be troubled today. If anything, we should be growing hotter with God, and our hearts today should not be filled with rebellion or foolishness against God. Again, when you begin to see this, we see the condition of the people of God again. He said that they have become a rebellious people. that they had rebelled against not Ezekiel, but they had rebelled against me. They and their fathers have transgressed even unto this very day. And again, I have very little in front of me. I know what God put in my heart earlier. I pondered this for days and days, just processing it and thinking about it. But if I make you mad today, I'm sorry. Somebody says, well, you stepped on my toes. Well, I didn't mean to step on your toes. I meant to step on your heart. Remember Eljoy saying that? But here's the thing. Have you ever seen such a day that we're living in where people say, you are not going to tell me what to do? Have you ever seen people so rebellious as we're living in today? I mean, you look at people the wrong way today and they want to know what your problem is. I mean, it seems like that people today, seemingly that our nerves is on edge, and all you got to do is look at somebody the wrong way, cock your head a little bit the wrong direction, and they're ready to flog you like a baney rooster. Now, if I'm not preaching right, I'll just go sit down and let Jody preach. The people of Israel, the Bible said that they had rebelled, but in the rebellion, when I think about rebellion, I think about what I would think about as an unteachableness. That they refused to have a teachable spirit. They refused to take in good, sound, godly advice. Men doing their own thing. Men and women doing their own thing. And rebellion, total rebellion against God. And you tell somebody today to follow the word of God or to do the right thing, and they'll look at you like a calf looking at a new gate. They'll look at you with fire in their eyes. Don't tell me what to do. You're not going to tell me what to do, preacher. And I'm thinking to myself, how are we ever going to evangelize in the day that we're living in? How are we going to do this? How are we going to continue on into church 2 years, 3 years, 5 years down the road you go? Especially when things get worse, as things I project will later on down the road. I'm going to tell you something. You better get your prayer life in order. You better get your love for Jesus in order today, because I'm going to tell you something. I feel this in my heart. You can say it. You can do it any way you want to do it. But I'm going to tell you how I feel, that only the strong will survive. If you are just sort of wishy-washy in your relationship with the Lord, if you're sort of 1 foot in the church, 1 foot out of the church, you know, riding the fence, so to speak, living in the gray, you know, no solidity in your life at all, I don't think it's going to be good for you. Because this is what he says. He says that even unto this very day, watch this. You say, preacher, why are you preaching this in church? We're not like this. Well, maybe you know somebody that's like this and you can help them. Help them along a little bit. Well, okay, I'll do that. I told you, I have to kind of just go with it, you know what I mean? Hey, Abby, I'm over here in 2 Timothy chapter 4 for just a second. Verse number 1, he says, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead, at his appearing and of his kingdom. Now, this is what Paul told Timothy. He told, now I'm getting ahead of myself. I'm getting way ahead of myself. But he told him, he said, preach the word. I'll get back into that later. Be instant in season, out of season. In other words, let me say it like this. Preach it when they like it. Preach it when they don't. Preach it when it feels good. Preach it when it don't. You know, that's what he says. And he says here, be instant in season, out of season. He says, and reproof. Is that not what the Holy Spirit is supposed to do and what we're supposed to do, that the Word of God will rebuke? And he says this, and he says, exhort with all longsuffering. There's that nice little word, longsuffering, right there. And then he says in this scripture, verse number 3, this is very important right here. He said, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. The time will come when they will not undergo or endure sound doctrine, sound biblical advice. Sound biblical direction, the good news, how to live eternal with Jesus Christ in glory, and all the other man-made ideologies will not make it when the trumpet sounds. I want you to know that today. But he says here, he says they will not endorse sound doctrine. But after their, and again, when I preach like I'm preaching this morning, I just can't help but to preach how I feel and how I feel it going through my own. One preacher said, you got to run it through your grinder. How I feel it going through my own grinder today. That it's like people say, and you may not feel this. This may not be anything that you can relate to. But if you are any way evangelizing, telling people about Jesus, which we're probably not, people's going to look at you in the eye and they're going to say, I don't want to hear what you have to say. Stiff neck. Brother Scott mentioned it this morning about Stephen. Stephen preached. Oh, did he preach? I'm not going down that route this morning, but this is the thing. When Stephen preached, what does the Bible say? He preached and he told them, you're a bunch of stiff-necked people. Stiff-necked. Hard to turn. Hard to bend. And then when Stephen preached, the Bible said they ran up on him and they began to, I guess they were biting him, I don't know. They began to gnash. They began to grit. That's what they done. They grit their teeth in his presence. They didn't bite him, I don't think, but they grit their teeth in his presence. But that was it. If you look that up, it's gnashing. It's, they grit their teeth in front of him. Why? Because the very word that he was saying was a very word that just, I guess I could say, irritated them so bad. It infuriated them so bad. And then again, Paul begins to say this in the scripture, and he says the compromise is simply this. After their own lust, they shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And then you see this in the next verse, and he says, for you and I, he says, but they shall turn away their ears for the truth and shall be turned to fables. He says this in verse 5 to you and I. He says, but watch thou in all things, endure affliction. And then he says to Timothy, he says, but do the work of evangelists, make full proof of your ministry. I said all that to say this. That in the previous verses 3 and verses 4 is where Paul begins to expound upon that. And he begins to describe the condition. I believe we're in the last days. I believe that. And there are warnings that I believe that I can say today that we need to be careful of. First of all is this. Is try to keep yourself, watch this. Are you ready? Try to keep yourself tender before God. Because when you look at this text before in Ezekiel, this is what he says. Verse 4, Ezekiel chapter 2. And he says, for they are impudent. What in the world is that? Children and stiff-necked. I do send thee unto them, and thou shalt say unto them, thus saith Lord God. Thus saith the Lord God. He defines people in this. He says this little word right there, that impudent. When you look at that word and you look at that, it's again a very word that actually means without any respect to anything that's said or being said unto them. I was thinking about this last night, about how that today moms and dads suffer the pain of children today that are rebellious. And don't you think, I'm looking at the walls, don't you think that God don't take a note of that? Don't think that somewhere along the way that you know, somebody said, well, I've got to sow my wild oats. Somewhere along the way, those wild oats will sprout, and you may not like the product of those wild oats. I've seen that happen hundreds of times in my life. So I'm just simply saying that the Bible even describes this in the book of Timothy, and I could go through that whole thing today, but I'm not going to, of how that people become rebellious against the things of God. Now, where are we going with this? Well, I want to, impudent actually means, again, this, one that will not heed nor give respect to another. When you begin to look at what God was beginning to tell Ezekiel here, he says in verse number 5, when you look at that, he says, thus saith the Lord God. In other words, this is what he's telling him to go and tell them. And they, whether they will hear or whether they will forbear, for they are a rebellious house, yet shall know that there hath been a prophet among them. In other words, they're going to know that truly Ezekiel was sent as a prophet from God before them. And he says here in the Word, and this is very important that you see this, going forward with this message. He says, And thou, son of man, be not afraid of them. You know what? I wasn't even going to get into this part of this message. I really didn't even study this part of this. I read it and read it and read it. I was going to get totally into something different. But again, God does what God does when I get up here. Sometimes I tell Abby, I said, Abby, just be ready. I've just got to feel this thing out and see where I'm going. That just spoke to me. Because he says, and thou, son of man, be not afraid of them. Have you ever seen such days that, and I'm not talking about being a bully. I'm not talking about being arrogant. I'm not talking about being rude. I'm not talking about being a horse's backside. Was that nice to say that like that? And I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about when they took these disciples, and you look at this in the New Testament. You know, I said it Wednesday night when we was going out the door to somebody, I can't remember, it said that they perceived that they were foolish and unlearned men. But they, when they saw them, Peter, James, John, those disciples, the Bible said they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. When Ezekiel shown himself to go before Israel, he done it in such a classy way, in my view, that when he did it, the people did not even know. The people did not, they knew. I said they did not even know, but the people knew that there was a prophet among them. People know whether you're walking with God. But here's the thing. If we're going to be the watchman, if we're going to be telling people the good news of Jesus in the day and the hour that we're living in, we've got to have a resurgence, if I can say it like that, of the energy and the power of God, the Holy Spirit within us, to be able to rightfully proclaim Jesus in a defiled world, in a world that is so sick, in a world that is so defiled today. I don't have to go down the news channels and tell you everything that's going on in our society today. But I do believe a pure, true, moral, biblical, conservative point of view has almost went out the door. So here's Ezekiel's heart. When God began to tell him in this scripture, he says in the Word, he says, and they that will hear, he says, and they that will hear or whether they will forbear. He says here in the Word, either they that will hear the Word or those that will not hear the Word. Those that will hear the Word and heed the Word, I can prove this biblically, they will hear the Word and they will save their lives. Or they will rebel against the Word, and then their entire life will go into eternal destruction. We're there, folks. We are living in that day. It is the day and the hour, again, just like the church of the Revelation. And again, throughout Ezekiel, he even says this a time or two. And I'm going to go back and use the word that's there in the book of Revelation and those in a few other places. Jesus said, behold, I come quickly. But what Jesus is saying is simply this. He says, behold, I come quickly. And then he talks about this to the churches. And then he says, that he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the church. What are you saying, Pastor? I'm just simply saying, when you hear the word of the Lord today, Let's do this. Let's agree together that we're going to give heed to the Word of God. And you know, somebody says, well, that rubs the cat the wrong way. Well, here's what you got to do. You got to turn the cat around. Because sometimes the Word of God will rub you the wrong way. Amen? But God will let you turn around and go in another direction if you'll just do it. Let me just say this. And again, I apologize for running out of time and just sort of being Lord sort of loose here for a little bit. But here's the thing. Here's the attitude of the day. Here's the attitude that I've even been told in my day. Y'all ready for this? Fasten your seatbelt. You ready? Well, when I die, I'm just going to go to hell and party with my buddies. How many times have you been told that? I have. Now you can take your seatbelt back off. Friend, there's not going to be no party there. Not at all. You say, well, preacher, we're the saints of God. We're in the church today. But maybe somewhere, some way, somebody might get a nippet of this or a little snippet of it. Maybe they'll turn their life around. Maybe they will. Because it's no time. You see, Israel was in a spiritual fallen state. That their heart had grown cold against the things of God. Spiritually speaking, I thought about this as well as I was processing this message, and I thought about the spiritual temperature within everybody within this room. Whether you're really cold on God or whether you're really hot after the heart of God. Where do you find yourself today? Where do you really find yourself today in your relationship with the Lord Jesus? And he says here in the Word, again, when he comes back to them, and he says in the middle part of verse number 5, and then he goes into verse number 6, this is what God is telling Ezekiel. If you'll stay with me just a few minutes, I'll bring a part of this to a head here in just a minute. He says, and thou, son of man, be not afraid of them, neither be afraid of their words, though briars and thorns be with thee. Woo! That's a lot right there, ain't it? Briars and thorns. Lions, bears, tigers, oh no. Briars and thorns. When you go through this life, when you go through this life as a child of God, yes, briars and thorns. And I believe too that when he told him this, that this is going to be the condition of what's going to be in front of them and of Ezekiel here. And he says, and thou dost well among scorpions. My goodness. And he says, be not afraid of the words. Is this not amazing of what he... This is the depth of the depravity of man, of how that he describes the condition of what Ezekiel was walking into. Have I got any volunteers this morning? You want to go with me and walk into briars and thorns and scorpions today? But you know what? Again, I'm going to shut it down in just a minute. But when you look into the New Testament, it was that way. Jesus told them, he said, I'm going to send you as sheep among wolves. Not a pasture full of sheep and one little wolf coming in, but a pasture full of wolves and one little sheep coming in. And that's where we're at today. That is in a synopsis of being able to describe that's where we're living at today. But are we going to be able to make it? Yes, we will, because Jesus said, be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. Jesus said to the scripture in John 14:27. He said, peace I give unto you, not as the world gives, but my peace I give unto thee. Now the latter part of this, what's this thing on TV they say, what's it called, Sandra? A cliffhanger? Is that what it's called? That's where I'm going to leave you today, I guess. Because I ain't going to get done. How do you get through 48 chapters in 35 minutes? I mean, you know, you don't. You talk about the main nuggets. You see the rebellious condition of the heart of Israel. You see that God raised up a prophet. His name was Ezekiel. A lot of other stuff in this. We talked about Joseph for a few weeks. I think Ezekiel's got a whole lot more in it than Joseph. And then he said, I'm going to send you as a prophet. And they will know that there's a prophet among them. Why? Because of the words that I'm going to put in your mouth. And the words that you're going to speak to the people. And then he says here that they're a rebellious house. Let me try to wrap this up. Maybe this was an introduction to where I really want to go. And he says here again, he says, and be not afraid. Don't you like that? Why? Because you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. You are not doing this in your own strength. You're not doing it in your own power. But he says, be not afraid of their words. Well, I remember one of the first messages I ever preached here about words. How that words, sharp words, hurt. Words, life and death is in the power of the tongue, and words can build up and words can tear down. I remember talking about that message that I preached in this very pulpit within the first year I was here. First year or two I was here. It said, sticks and stones may hurt my bones, but words will never hurt. Well, liar, liar, pants on fire. Words will destroy you. With words you can build up, and with words you can tear down. You can destroy. That's why we have to be careful with that. But in this, he said, and let me say it like this, and I'll be done, because I got to quit. He said, Ezekiel, I'm going to send you forth among rebellious people, among briars and thorns and scorpions, and they're going to say words to you that's going to hurt your feelings. They're going to say words to you that you're not going to like. Now here's me for about a minute or two. Here's me. Okay, y'all ready? Here's me. Because I had been struggling with this. Me. Well, what are we supposed to do? Are we supposed to just be silent? Are we supposed to not say nothing? Are we supposed to just go sulk and sit in a corner? And those of you that was here Wednesday night, are we supposed to just go, what's that word, incognito? Help me, Hannah. Under the right, just... Were we supposed to just blend in and go, you know, just sort of like a, what's that lizard that goes different colors and a chameleon? Okay, I thought that was a flower. Oh, it's a chameleon, flower, chameleon. Okay, but are we supposed to just blend in? No, because I've dealt with that recently. I've dealt with that within the last few weeks. Because anytime you have a vocal voice and you have a platform, anytime you say something that somebody disagrees with you on, they're going to blast you. And in my struggle of trying to dissect this in my own mind, I thought to myself, I'll just go somewhere and sit down. Let the world go to hell. Let them go. Let them go to hell. Let the whole world go to hell. And you say, well, preacher, you shouldn't have been saying things like that. Why? Because it's your attitude too. You've had that same type of attitude most likely. I can't do nothing. I can't change nothing. How can I change the world? Am I supposed to be quiet? Am I supposed to be silent? And then you read these things about Ezekiel, and then you begin to understand that God's put you in a place to save a people and to rescue a people and to bring a people out of their rebellion and to live that life before them and open up your mouth so God can fill it and put you back into place with Him where you really need to be, so that God can put you not pridefully up on a pedestal, no. Because the higher you climb, the harder to fall. Sometimes you've got to be careful. But to put you as a light to a lost and to a dying world. And this is what was happening in the life of Ezekiel. Now, I told you I was going to leave you hanging. And I hope that somewhere you're going, what in the world did I get out of that? Here's your homework. Read the book of Ezekiel as much as you can this week. This message has got at least one or two more I know that I want to get to before I even get near closing this particular message. And I've told you before, you know me for 10 years, I get into a vein on something, and I can't get out of it until I preach my way out of it. Oh, by the way, I'm not done with Joseph yet. Joseph's in prison. He's in prison right now. We'll get back into Joseph a little bit later on. He's got some days in prison before we bring him out. He starts having visions and he starts having dreams of butlers and bakers. And then the king begins to see Joseph and what Joseph is doing, and he brings him back out. Oh, Potiphar and Pharaoh. We'll get back into him a little bit later on. Stand with me. I got to quit. It's a quarter after. If you got a 12:30 lunch date, you're going to have to hurry. Hey, one thing I want to say, Miss Alicia, we want to pray for her this morning. She broke my heart today. Oh, I'm off the camera? Okay. Sorry. She's going back to Puerto Rico this week, I think. We're going to miss you. And then she'll be back in January. She says, I'll miss you all too. So before you go, as we close, would you help us pray for her, that God would strengthen her and help her during her journeys? Father, we love you today. And Father, we just praise you for all your goodness. We praise you for all of your mercy. I thank you, Father God, for this message today. Lord, let us not hide behind the responsibility of taking this gospel to a lost and to a dying world. Lord Jesus, you said that you, Lord, would put your word in our mouth. And I pray for that today, God. And I pray for Alicia today as she travels, as she goes and does the things that she does, that you'd be with her, Father. Lord, I pray traveling grace and traveling mercies. And I pray, God, over this congregation today, that, God, that in the day that we're living in, Lord, that we would not grow weak, that we would not grow weary in well-doing, but we would do the very things, God, that we're called to do in the day and the hour that we're living in. That, God, that we would be louder than we've ever been for your glory, that we would be stronger than we've ever been and empowered with the power of the Spirit to take this gospel message into a lost and to a dying world. Father, help us today, oh God, I pray in Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen. God bless you. Hey, I'm going to try my best to walk on into this a little bit tonight. It's going to be a little bit different. It's going to be the same principle, but it's going to be walking right on through this at 6 o'clock tonight. Be with us. Amen.